You're listening to the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network, brought to you by Go Wild. Go Wild is one of the fastest growing social media applications that there is, dedicated to outdoor enthusiasts. This app is basically a community of all like-minded individuals who love Mother Nature, love to be outside, love hunting, fishing, camping, all the activities that people love to do outside. You're going to find a community for those activities within Go Wild. Now, you can download the app directly to your mobile device, your phone, and you can find that at the Google Play Store. That's where I download all my apps. Or for more information, you can go to timetogowild.com. Read up on the app, read what it's all about, lots of detail on their website. So get outside. It's time to go wild.
Thanks for listening to the Backcountry Rookies Podcast, brought to you by Elk 101's University of Elk Hunting. The University of Elk Hunting is your one-stop shop for elk hunting education. The course is built with 17 modules, broken down into 38 chapters that cover everything from planning an elk hunt to packing an elk out of the woods, and every tip, tactic, strategy, and situation in between. You owe it to yourself to invest in the most lethal weapon in the elk woods, and that is you, the hunter. Visit elk101.com and save 20% off the price of the course by using the code ROOKIES and start preparing for your elk hunt.
Speaking of Elk 101, and we are very, very proud to be sponsored by Elk 101 and the University of Elk Hunting. We have an upcoming giveaway for February, and that's going to be on Instagram. And it'll be one of those, like the post and then follow Backcountry Rookies and follow Elk 101 and then tag three of your buddies. But the giveaway is going to be fantastic. Elk 101 has donated a one-year membership to the University of Elk Hunting. So you'll get one complete year of the University of Elk Hunting course, which is phenomenal. You get a Bully Bull Extreme bugle tube with a Sitka Subalpine wrap. It's really cool. It's got an Elk 101 logo on the side and then Sitka logo on the other side. And you get a Elk 101 temptress call, Elk 101 diaphragm 3-pack, which comes with the All-Star, the Contender, and the Champ. And I'm a big fan of the All-Star call. I haven't used the Contender yet or the Champ, but I got a couple on order, and I'm getting ready to start playing around with them. I'm really excited about both of those to try them out. And then you also get a little call case where you can throw your calls in there and a wind detector. That's the prize package. Pretty awesome, actually. So we got a couple of these we're going to be giving away. We're giving one away in February, and then I think the other one will be in April. And we're trying to get those done, trying to front load those for the 2019 giveaways, so that the winners have time to actually dig into University of Elk Hunting and then also to start using their call packages and learning how to call if they don't know how to yet, or just practicing if you already do. Be sure to start watching for it on Instagram. You'll probably see some posts about it on Facebook too, directing you over to Instagram. But anyway, just wanted you guys to know that that'd be coming out pretty soon. And then I got some additional giveaways that we're doing over on the Backcountry Rookies Nation Facebook group page. And right now we've got a hat giveaway that's going on, and that's when we hit 500 members. I got a Go Hunt hat that I'm giving away. It's one of their Go Hunt Softy hats. Pretty cool. It's water resistant and really comfortable hat. At 750, I'm going to give away a Rookies Backcountry Rookies t-shirt. And then at 1,000, I've got another Go Hunt hat. And then before we jump into it, I try to say thanks to Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network somewhere. And I'll just do it now. So thanks to Dan and Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network for having us on the network. Make sure you guys are checking that website out. And on the website, you can look at all of the content that Sportsman's Nation is putting out. So with that, I think let's jump into this show. I hope you guys enjoy this one. It's a good one. So really, really good show. Enjoy it. Okay, so today we've got Christian Armstrong on, and Christian is from the new. We'll call it new, but these guys are taking over like crazy. You can't hardly jump on Instagram without seeing the Kong Valley Collective. So I'm super excited to have Christian on here today. And him and I have been talking quite a bit over the last few months, I guess, now. And we've gotten to know each other pretty well. So I think this is going to be a really fun show. I'm going to let Christian introduce himself and talk a little bit about Kong Valley Collective. And then we're going to get into kind of how Kong Valley Collective and the Backcountry Rookies, how we sort of align and some of the things that we really believe in for this, for the backcountry and hunters in general. So with that, Christian, take it away, man. Introduce yourself.
Absolutely. First and foremost, just thank you for having me on, man. It's been amazing watching you grow Backcountry Rookies. I remember seeing it come to fruition as a dream, and it's been awesome to see you do so well. And I'm honored to be a good friend and a part of it to watch you grow. So on another note, I am Christian Armstrong. I'm one of the co-founders of Kong Valley Collective. I am a native Oregonian, and I'm not a hippie or a liberal, I promise. I'm an Army veteran. I got out about 6 years ago. I'm now just about to be a journeyman electrician in the state of Oregon. Avid hunter. Just started bow hunting about 5 years ago. I pretty much spend all my time when I'm not working or with my family, taking my kids out in the woods and going to shoot my bow. And anything related to elk hunting, I'm obsessed with. So
nothing wrong with that, man.
No, I can't. I'm addicted. I got it in my blood. It's just like Corey said, once it gets in your blood, it never leaves.
Yeah, good. Well, let's hear a little bit about Kong Valley Collective and what the mission is over there. What are you guys trying to do?
Yeah, so me and my buddy Jonathan Metcalf, everybody knows him as Jay Met. He really birthed the idea of Kong Valley, which didn't really necessarily have a name yet. He spent a lot of time kind of building this body of something that he wanted to create. And lo and behold, I kind of came on Instagram with this idea, the idea of building a community, kind of restructuring the idea of what success really means to hunters, and not just hunters, but outdoorsmen as whole. I see so much stuff. I mean, you get on social media and it's all about big racks, big fish, you know, everything's about how exclusive and how big can it get. And I kind of got on there and wandered around trying to build a community, and lo and behold, me and Jonathan crossed paths, and it really just kind of, it seemed like it happened overnight, but it took weeks and weeks of us kind of getting together and being like, what are we going to do here that's going to change? And he had the Kong Valley Collective name already made up in his mind. It was something that he was passionate about. And our mission statement really was, in a simple term, it was, we're going to redefine success, and we're going to change what people perceive as the core values of being an outdoorsman. And for us, it's tradition, camaraderie, respect, and ethics. And that's really basically what it is. I remember me as a kid, my father, you know, those are the first things you learn as a hunter, as a child. And we just want to reinstill that. We feel like so much of it now has been lost in translation about, you either got to be super jacked or super athletic, or you got to shoot the, you know, craziest rifle. And it's like, we don't want people to be feeling defeated before they even get started, or guys that are spending years trying to get exposed to, you know, whether it be fishing or hunting, just feeling like they're not doing good enough. And so our project and our main objective is we're going to change the world. That's where our commitment is, to start getting people excited about being outdoors and changing their definition of success when they're out there.
Well, you guys certainly have the passion and the motivation to change the world. You guys have come on quick, man. January 1st was the launch date. Is that right? Kong Valley Collective?
Yeah.
And you're everywhere now. And I think it's awesome to see it, because it's not like you guys are just everywhere and it's those ridiculous pictures that you see that are totally sponsor-driven posted pictures. You're posting stuff on Instagram and Facebook and they're like meaningful pictures. Your posts that you put out on Instagram, there's always a story that goes with it, or some, you know, that tells a story. And so everything has meaning. And I think that is what's really cool. I think that's what's drawing people to your guys' mission and what you guys are doing, is just that passion, I guess, is the word I'm looking for. So, I think it's great, man. We're kind of in the same boat here at Backcountry Rookies, and we do, our main goal is that educating other hunters, educating new hunters to try to get them involved into coming out west, whether it be for their first time or somebody that's 3 or 4 years into hunting but still doesn't really have it and they're looking for a little bit more information. And I think that's where our paths kind of cross.
Absolutely.
Is that educating and the inspiring new hunters And that's one of the first topics that I want to talk about. And we'll just jump right into that. And that's educating and inspiring new hunters. What's that, kind of define that, if you would, man, out of your definition, when you think of educating and inspiring, what do you think of?
You know, I think first and foremost, I mean, you're not going to meet a more passionate guy. You know, he says the same thing about me, but Jonathan, one of the guys, I kind of met him on Go Wild. And, the one thing I love about that guy is he has the biggest heart. He'll take, it doesn't even matter, anybody's kid, anybody's family. If your grandma wants to go fishing and you don't know where to go, he's willing to take, you know, an entire boatload of people out to a fishing hole, you know, just to teach them how to cast. And it was like, for us, that is our main objective. Is it's, you know, we obviously want you to be able to build the technical skills to become a better hunter, to become, you know, to sharpen and hone in on what it means to be ethical, to know how to use your equipment. But it all starts with the foundation of the passion. And I think that's what we just try to nail down with everybody that we engage with. And it's been really awesome to see so much of the feedback from people that appreciate that, because like I said, I think there's so much that's lost in translation, you know, by the mainstream media and the big names. It's like, you got all these guys going out there doing these crazy hunts, and people just need to understand that it's a process, and not everybody can afford to go out and do these crazy hunts. But as long as you're getting out there and you're committing yourself to getting better and just building your experience, especially with people you care about, that's your trophy. That's exactly what you need to build on to get to that end goal.
You couldn't have said that any better, man. Mentorship is one of the topics that I had written down here that I wanted to really hit on. And so one of the questions that I had about mentorship is, where does that new guy find that mentor, right? Where's a good place for somebody to go and look and find it, a mentor? You can't just really wander around the woods until you see some some big, you know, bearded hunter out there and think, okay, he's an older guy, I'm going to talk to him. Well, yeah. You know? And in today's world, there's so many places, but for you, where do you go? Where would you go? Or where could people find you and Jonathan and mentors like yourself?
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's a good question. I remember when you first brought that up, we had a conversation about that. It actually made me really think. It's like, where, you know, where have I found the people that have inspired and taught me? And, you know, it's a lot of guys, you know, they were born with dads that were hunters. And so they were exposed at a young age. But it's like, you know, there's guys like Jonathan. He was not born into a family of hunters. He truly just had the passion. He got a little bit of a taste, you know, later on in life, and it became, you know, it became kind of embedded in who he was. And it was just, he sought that knowledge. And it's, you know, it's submersing yourself in being vulnerable. You got to make yourself vulnerable. You got to be able to admit that and be okay with that. You are, you know, you're a rookie, and that's, you can, as soon as you deny that you have any more capability of learning is when you stop succeeding, in our opinion. Because it's, I mean, Corey's one of the first guys, I'll keep bringing up Corey because I love that guy. And we parallel so much with the way that he thinks, that as soon as you stop learning or you see yourself beyond that, then you're going to stop seeing success or the enjoyment in your hunts or your experiences. And for us, you know, part of our goal with building Kong Valley is to completely build that mentorship. We've got some absolutely incredible guys across the country. I mean, from whitetail hunters out in Pennsylvania and Virginia to bass fishermen out in North Carolina. We've got a guy in Wyoming named Luke, who is the most humble, kind, and he is just an absolute stud of a hunter. I mean, he teaches me daily. I mean, he's versed in how to draw tags, draw odds. I mean, just about everything. So it's really just about, and it's not just social media. I mean, you go to bow shops and you'll run into that old timer, the guy that spent some time in the woods enough. And honestly, the one thing I found is that the hunting community and, you know, the outdoorsman community as a whole, everybody usually gets along. There's, you know, not too often that guys have bad blood between them. And it's just, everybody wants to enjoy their public land. Everybody wants to go out and have those experiences. And it's, you just got to be able to go out and kind of, get some exposure to the people that are out there training, shooting their bows, shooting their rifles. I guarantee if you go to a range, a bow shop, or, you know, any of those things, you're going to meet a guy who is a local and who's going to be willing to teach you how to shoot, help you, you know, get your form right. So, I mean, I can't give it to one person. I've had so many people that have changed, you know, changed me as a hunter and helped build me up and teach me so many small little things over, you know, the last 10 years that it's made me who I am now, and it's not going to stop. I have a thirst for knowledge, and I believe you can't get enough of it. So it's, you just got to kind of get yourself exposed to those kinds of people in those crowds.
And I think one thing too is, kind of like not everybody is a mentor, right?
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
because you go to that bow shop and you talk to that one guy, that's not Absolutely. Necessarily the dude you want to talk to.
Yep.
It's so funny. Like, I'm in San Antonio, and we have a really great bow shop that's out here in the local area out in Bernie, Texas, and it's called Leading Edge Archery. And I walked in there not thinking anything, right? This was last year, and I was trying to get my bow, some work done on my bow, and I was trying to get prepped for elk season. Uh-huh. And I walked in there, and there's a big elk hanging on the wall. And I kind of started talking to the guy that owns the shop. And this dude is a wealth of knowledge, man. As it turns out, because I'm thinking he's in San Antonio, Texas, right? This guy probably hunts pigs and some whitetail out of a blind, like over corn feeders, like everybody does in Texas. Yeah, and this guy, his name's Scott, and Scott starts talking about he's a guy, you know, he guides out in Colorado, and he elk hunts every year, and he goes out, and this dude truly knew like bow setups when it comes to hunting in the backcountry. And it was just incredible to me that I walked into this little shop in Bernie, Texas, and here like the whole staff knew about elk hunting. So
yeah,
but now to solidify my point, I could go into some of the other shops in San Antonio, and those guys aren't going to know a single thing about elk hunting. You know, yep. or I won't say bow hunting because they know about bow hunting, but not out in the West. So for the people that are in the eastern side of the United States, you know, that don't have that luxury of walking into a Colorado shop or something,
yeah,
kind of pick and choose who your mentor is, because they might not all be the best mentor. They may have little nuggets of information, but sometimes you'll find that one where somebody says, "Man, I've been going to Montana every year hunting elk for the last 20 years," and that's the guy that you want to hit. But
yeah, anyway. That's a great point for sure. I kind of went off on track, but that's the one thing is you gotta, you know, sometimes you treat some of the wisdom you inherit from some of those guys like a piece of gold, but some of it you just got to take with a grain of salt. You know, you got to use your discretion on what guys are talking about. A lot of guys, you know, read something on the internet and they believe it's, you know, the whole truth, and you start putting pieces together once you experience it on your own, but it's definitely true. You can't believe everything you hear.
Sweet. Are you trying to tell me that everything on the internet isn't true?
The internet is a powerful thing. You have to use it wisely.
That changes everything for me. So, yep. So a minute ago, you also mentioned information and just kind of knowledge and things like that. And before the show, we were talking about some of the like reading and trying to get that information and where can people find it. What's your best resources for digging in and finding good, solid information about getting out and hunting?
Yeah, I mean, getting into it, I'll say right off the bat, the two biggest things I used when I was first getting into hunting were, first off, it was Rock Slide, because a lot of those guys on there, I mean, it's kind of been watered down now with a lot of turds that are going to come on and talk bad about each other and about certain things, but there are some really solid authors on there that are putting great gear reviews and stuff like that, and that are going to help you decide what you're going to need to go on, you know, what specific hunt or what outing. And I really liked using that. Plus they have a great, for guys that aren't wanting to drop a bunch of money on packs and gear right away, they have awesome used sales on there, and it's usually vetted pretty well. But other than that, the other thing is, I mean, the Elk 101 course was one of the best things I ever invested in. I think I did that about a year and a half, 2 years ago. And, I was pretty experienced elk hunter at that point, but I wanted to understand kind of more than what I knew just from experience. And I wanted to have something that was broken down, and you can't put into words how methodical and how well that Corey articulated that entire, that entire program. That, I mean, I honestly couldn't tell you that you'd be hard pressed to find someone that even if they've hunted for 50 years, that wouldn't take something away from that entire program. And I think Cody Rich said it once, and I totally agree. If someone wants to go elk hunting, I would probably make them go through that course before I'd let them come with me, because it really changes your entire perspective and your attack methods once you kind of go through and put those pieces of the puzzle together.
It is a good course. Man, if there was only a way I could save 20% on that course.
Ooh, God, yeah.
How about a shameless plug? So don't forget, use the code ROOKIES and save 20% on that. Anyway, yeah, so there's also tons of forums and stuff out there. And like you said, Rock Slide is an excellent resource for all kinds of stuff. And their classified ads are good too. So if you're looking for just used gear, you can jump in Rock Slide and find dang near anything you're looking for in the size that you want, or binos or optics of any kind. So
it seems to be the most unbiased source I've seen too. You know, you get on, the one thing is a lot of those Facebook pages, you get a lot of biased stuff of guys that only use one thing. And Rock Slide, I really appreciate, because it's, you know, guys that are kind of doing what you and I have done and going through multiple pieces of equipment that have just kind of decided this isn't what I needed. I found something else that works better, but they can give you honest insight on who it's going to work for and what it's going to work for. And that was the one thing that helped me the most.
They do. They have great reviews. And if so, then also to talk about reviews is the staff that they've put together over there is fantastic. So they're like Matt Cashel, I think is his name. That dude gives awesome bino reviews all the way down from, you know, like the entry level all the way up to your Swaro ELs and stuff. There's a ton of good information out there and so many resources. Facebook's littered with great Facebook groups in order to find information.
Yep.
One of the best ones I've ever found is the Backcountry Rookie Nation. That one's fantastic.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I'd have to say it is.
But there is a lot of good places to go on Facebook that are pretty unbiased. You know, you get a good community of hunters in there and stuff. Elcadix is awesome. You can get into Elcadix.
They're
ask
great.
Ask any questions. So. One of the other things that you and I had talked about was as far as the educating yourself is spending time with your gear.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think that's important? What's important about it?
I mean, it's just, it comes down to it. You kind of get on any of those forums and any of those Facebook pages, and the thing you see probably 70% of the time is what boot should I buy? What pack should I buy? What camo works the best? Honestly, no two people really are going to be the same, especially when it comes to boots and that kind of stuff. And so it's like, I mean, you and I both, this is probably where 80% of our discussions prior to any of this stuff going on, we would just used to converse back and forth. I mean, you've gone to Arizona with certain pieces of gear that I haven't used, and we've gone back and forth about, you know, different technical clothing and stuff like that. And I've literally tried every big brand. I've tried Scree, I've tried First Light, I've tried Sitka, I've tried Kuyu, I mean, everything. And it's, I think really in order to understand systems and appreciate them and to really see what fits, I mean, it costs, but at the same time, like I said, if you can get on some of those pages, and if you don't, you know, if you use it lightly and you're just kind of going out trying to figure out what works, you can usually resell it and make some, you know, a decent percentage of your money back. And it's truly the only way you're going to find something that works for you. And, you know, there's the saying, buy nice, not twice. And as easy it is to say that, not everyone can go out and, I mean, technical clothing and gear in general is expensive. I mean, you're dropping, you know, we always make a joke, you know, we're these guys going out in the woods acting hardcore, but we're rocking about $10,000 worth of stuff when we step out of the truck to go out there for 10 days. And it's like, you know, you have to be careful what you're using, because if you're going out with, you know, Walmart boots, you're going to be taken out of the game pretty quick if you're going into, you know, Colorado or Idaho wearing that kind of stuff. It's just, you're going to be miserable, you're going to be hurting. And it's good to spend some time before season, you know, seeing what kind of, I went through 6 different boots before the season before I picked mine. And I'm so glad I did, because if I would have kept the ones that I got the most solid reviews about, I would have been absolutely miserable on my 10-day trip elk hunting this year.
Boots are real tough, man. You got to spend a little bit of time in each pair of boots. And
yep.
I say it every time I talk about boots. I say one of the best things that you can do, and a lot of people disagree, because I always say REI, and people say REI is anti-hunting, yada, yada. But, man, I'll tell you what, they got a one-year return policy on boots.
Yep.
And you can take them out, and you don't have to just go up and down your steps. You know, like a lot of people say, well, I put my pack on and did 20 laps on my steps. Because I didn't want to scuff the soles in case I needed to return them. Well, man, I put like 100 miles on a pair of boots last year and realized those weren't the boots for me. And I took them back to REI and they gave me a full refund on them.
So, yeah, that's a good piece of info. And the other thing too is just like to hit on the same thing. People buy boots and they wear them around their house. It's like, sorry. I mean, dude, you're not going to be going out into the woods and be walking around like you are in your house. You need to go hit some nasty inclines on uneven ground. And the other piece of advice I have is, if you have not put Superfeet in your boots yet, you are missing out, because that was the biggest game changer. I put them in everything now after using them in my Crispies this year.
I'll have to check them out.
they are, I mean, I have my ankles and ligaments and my lower legs are absolutely beat from my time in service. And that I had a guy that was actually an old podiatrist that works down at the bow shop. He's like, man, you got to get some super feet. I'm like, yeah, whatever, you know, and I threw him in and he wasn't joking. It changes the game. It keeps your hips from getting worn out, you know, when you're walking inclines or declines all day. And they actually, I mean, I just don't think about that stuff, but it's a game changer when you're checking out footwear.
I just brought it up on my phone, so I'm going to check it out as soon as we're done with the podcast. So there's a few other things too that I think are really, really important. That is, it's as far as testing your gear and spending time with it, and that's anything that's electronic. If you haven't played with it or messed with it or tried to sync it to your phone or whatever it is, and I'll use my InReach for example. I started playing with my InReach weeks before I went out to Colorado, and I learned how to send messages, and I knew how to run the SOS, and I made sure everything was synced. I knew battery times before the thing would go dead. Like I knew everything I needed to know about that Garmin. And I know people do it every year. They buy that thing and take it out of the box the day that they're packing their pack to go drive out west or whatever. And there's just, to me, and Onyx Maps is another one. Every time that I go on a hike or something, I turn my phone in airplane mode and I turn on Onyx Maps and I use Onyx Maps to go on that hike so that I can test that system and know how to use that product.
Yeah, very smart.
Yeah, it's just I don't know. I try to do it. Now I know how to use it, obviously, so I don't necessarily need to do that. But because I spent that, you know, couple months doing it prior to, I'm a lot more comfortable using that system. So,
yeah, being affordable, and that's the one thing is, you know, we're afforded such a crazy opportunity to be able to have so much, you know, technology now that helps you. I mean, gosh, my brother the other day, I didn't even know what this was, but he was showing me on his phone that. You know, he can figure out how to track, you know, certain, I mean, it's, and I don't know, I take it with a grain of salt, but he's a big waterfowl and upland hunter, and you can track wind shift times and all this other stuff and track it to your phone. Like if you're going to be sitting on this bank at this time, the wind's going to be blowing southeast 6 miles an hour. But the thing is you can't just sit there and be like, okay, I'm good to go. You got to do exactly like you said. I got one of those, InReach minis this year and I went, you know, right out into, one of the county parks up here and just like you said, turned my phone on airplane mode and tried to figure out how to send messages. And I mean, it's like the one you can't make it so that you're solely relying on your gear to save you or guide you if you need it. You got to go out and use it exactly how you would. And that's the one biggest piece of advice. If you're coming out west and you truly are, you know, wanting to tackle a backcountry hunt, whether it be 3 days, 5 days, you got to be knowing exactly how much, you know, power you're going to be using. I bought one of those Dark Energy Poseidons, which is a pretty nice little power bank that I use, but it burned out a lot faster than I expected when I was plugging in my InReach in my phone. I tried not to do it on a nightly basis, but you learn quickly, you know, how to kind of ration your time on your phone or using that equipment before you're burnt out. Cause it's like the last thing you want to be is like 20 miles deep and not have a map anymore.
Well, that leads to another point that we were going to talk about too, and that's studying maps. And understanding how to actually use maps too, and that's so you know how to do it, and I know how to do it, but
yeah.
So we both had the same job back in the day in the military, and we were both cavalry scouts. And that honestly, some days I feel guilty by using a piece of electronics because
I know
it was ingrained in Cav Scouts. Like
I know
you use a map. You use a map. So, but it is something that I think is necessary, and it's whether it be a paper map or whether it be your Onyx maps or whatever. But when you're in the field, study that stuff and know how to use it and triangulate, you know, in order to find different things. So,
absolutely,
yeah. Maps is another big thing, but
and it's just, I mean, even just using Onyx, if you have it on topo and you can start identifying, you know, land features. You know, it's just, I mean, that's the way you're going to learn. You got to go out to different geographical features and you're going to see, you know, if there's a watering hole down here, you know, sometimes it'll be marked. Sometimes you'll have a national forest road that's marked in between a draw and you'll start kind of putting pieces together. But I mean, I'll tell you what, Randy Newberg does a great job explaining that stuff, especially when he does e-scouting. He really shows people, you know, how to identify certain landmarks and, you know, geographical features that, I mean, I would have to say if people aren't, you know, versed in looking at maps, he does a pretty good job of explaining it.
Oh yeah, he does a great job of it. And that goes back to that resources and information. And some of the stuff on YouTube that's already out there is just phenomenal that you can sit and watch some of these guys. Like Newberg does an awesome job with his e-scouting videos. And those are, what is it, Onyx and Randy Newberg, they put them on kind of jointly.
Yep. Yeah.
So those are good.
Yeah.
So I wanted to kind of move on to one of our other topics that we were going to talk about, and that's adversity and mental toughness. This is something that's kind of hard to deal with for some people, for some it isn't. I had to, you know, put both of these things to the test this last year because I got to go on several great hunts, and I was only successful on one, and it was kind of by accident. but my elk hunt wasn't successful. It was successful, but not like putting an animal on the ground. And we'll define that difference here in a minute. But I had an awesome Awdad sheep hunt one day, and I wildly missed a shot. And I'm not going to blame it on anything except me probably just being too excited and missing the shot. But eating tag soup, man, that stuff doesn't taste very good.
No, it doesn't.
What's ways that people can deal with that, or you know, what's something that in your mind when you hear about tag soup? What do you think of?
I think for me, I was a proud tag soup owner this year too. I had six tags in my pocket. I didn't fill a single one. And for me, it was the hardest part for me this year was this year I was dedicated to putting in more time and effort into increasing my odds of success of filling my tags by spending more time e-scouting, spending more times actually on the ground scouting. I think I spent 20 days in country this year total just during September, which was like, I took quite a bit of time, you know, amount of time of work off to get out there. And I was driving 8 to 10 hours to go over east when I was doing that. And so it was, for me, it was just like, you know, there's got to be some reward. And just, this year was a pivotal moment for me because it's hard. You put that much effort into something, you shoot all year long, you know, you upgrade all your gear so that you're comfortable, which, you know, and it's an investment. You're spending money, you're spending time. And most of the time those are, you know, well, obviously with time, that's not stuff you can get back. So, the one thing that I did after this year, you know, I talked to Jonathan a lot. He tagged out opening day, and that was his first bull, but he's another prime example. He hunted for 4 or 5 years and never even drew his bow back on an elk. And there's a lot of guys that I've talked to, and there was a guy that I remember specifically that reached out to me that's been taking his son hunting for the last 7 years. I can't remember where he lives, but they've never seen more than like one or two cows together the entire month. And he was just so down. He's just like, I just don't know if I can enjoy this. And it really kind of made me think. It was just like, okay, so if you go out, I mean, obviously, you know, we go out there every season. We're preparing to eliminate as many odds of us failing as possible. You know, we shoot our bows, we get, you know, as much upgraded equipment as we can. And we try and become so versed that what we're doing is we're trying to make ourselves the most proficient hunter or, you know, outdoorsman that we can. And I think the biggest thing to realize is that if you do that and you go through your season and you don't, I mean, even if you only can hunt 3 days, if you can only hunt, you know, Labor Day weekend, or you can only take 5 days off to hunt, if you go out there and you leave everything you have on that mountain or on the river or whatever you're doing, you won. You got your experience. And as hard as it is to come home after being so dedicated and committed to fulfilling, you know, that tag, you can't change nature. You can't change the odds. That's the hardest pill you're going to have to swallow, is that you can go out there and you could have been hunting for 10 years, but it happens. You know, it's very, very rare for guys to, you know, for the average hunter that goes out, I think the average hunter spends between 10 to 12 days, you know, and that, I would say that's a lot. For me, I used to be about 5 days a season because I couldn't afford to do anymore. And it's just, you get what you get, and you have to love the experience. And the one thing that you got to do that's going to make that the best is to look to your left and your right and realize what kind of bond you're creating with the people out there. If you're getting so frustrated to the point where you're starting to get, you know, you guys are degrading each other, you're getting frustrated, you need to step back and realize that you're out there doing the absolutely most, in my opinion, one of the most amazing things you can do as a human being. And that's to go out there and provide not only for yourself, but you're putting in your effort for conservation. If you have a family, you're going with the effort to fill your freezer. And you're going out there to make memories that are going to last a lifetime. Some of my best memories had nothing to do with encounters with the animal. And it's, you know, there's stuff that you're going to go back and, you know, you're gonna have a guy fall down, you know, slip down some shale down the mountain, and you guys are gonna crack up about it for, you know, time to come. But the biggest thing is just to look at the big picture and not be so focused on not filling your tag. Is once you start doing that, you're gonna stop enjoying it as a whole, and it just makes you bitter. It's gonna make less people want to spend time with you in the woods, and it's kind of shakes you away from what really is important. And that to us, that's just the experience. It's getting out there, doing your part, and leaving it all on the mountain. As long as you've done that, you're successful.
Very well said, man. And that's so. I think that's why. Like when we walked away this year, myself and Neil, we were both rookies this year, and then we had Gus with us. And Gus he's one of those crazy guys from Oregon too, so he knows about. He's been hunting his whole life too, but Neil and I both walked away, and the last day that we were out there, we both kind of looked at each other and we said, "Man, this was an absolute awesome weekend," and it was or week rather, and it was almost like. Neither one of we both walked away, and neither one of us really cared that much that we didn't kill anything, or you know, kill an elk.
And yeah,
as I was driving home, I had a nice little like 14-hour drive to get back home. And over the course of that drive, there wasn't really ever a moment. Well, I can't say that. I mean, there was times where I wish I would have killed something, but
yeah,
I kept honestly thinking about what did I learn and what can I do better next year. Right. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like this head shaking, head down type of moment where it was like, man, we absolutely failed. It was, how did we better prepare ourselves for next year? And that, to me, that was our redefining success, was that we were able to take it away as a positive thing and not a failure. So hopefully other people get something from that, because I'm ready. The day we left, I was ready to go do it again. You know what I mean? It was like, okay, this is what we learned. Too bad I'm out of time, because I really want to go try this stuff that I learned. You know, I want to get back out there today, but I had to get off the mountain. So,
yeah. And that's the key point. I think the biggest thing too is and when we talk about, you know, walk away learning something every year, it's not always going to be related to the hunt. For me, most of the time, it's my mentality. It's, you know, when we're this year, I committed to not going back to camp midday. I was like, I'm staying out all day. I don't care. I'll go. I'm not going to come back until it's dark. And for me, it was like, I kind of looked back at how many times was I just tired and frustrated where I really wasn't focusing on the end goal, or how much that I was, you know, how much was I not taking away because I started getting frustrated, or because I was too caught up in the moment? Because just like everybody says, it can change in a second. Every encounter I've ever had with an elk, it was like, all of a sudden you're trying to grab your stuff, and what do I do? Because all of a sudden I've got a bull charging me from 100, you know, he's coming into a small cow call and he's got six cows with him and he's ready to fight. And I'm sitting there, you know, just cause I'm, you know, walking the road. I mean, you just got to keep your head in the game. And when you stay positive, I remember Dirk saying something on his podcast with Cody Rich the other day. It's like, you got to sit there and joke around with your buddies and laugh, because, you know, honestly, if you're sitting there eating or laughing 90% of the time, you're going to have this random bull walk in on you at those moments. It just happens that way. It's going to happen when you least expect it. And you just got to be ready and loving every moment of it.
Yep. Man, we had so much fun out there. So many, just little, like, you can't describe the funny stories, and you can't, you know, no. It's just those moments, you know how it goes.
Yep, I live for it, man.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Online recognition was another thing that we wanted to talk about. And this might be a touchy subject. I don't know if it will or not, but I don't know. I have my frustrations with seeing stuff online, and maybe I do it too. I don't know. I try not to post. Whatever. We'll talk through it, and then we'll go from there. But so we kind of broke this down into five different topics for online recognition. And one of the things that we had was have something to offer. And so when we say that, what do you think about that? What do you think?
I think for us, you know, one of our core statements when we started Kong Valley Collective was death to deception. And I came up with that personally. And I don't go into, you know, nitpicking details and stuff, but the one thing that you spend enough time, you know, on the internet or on social media, there's a lot of guys out there that, you know, if you can afford a nice camera and you can take the time to go spend in the wilderness, you can sit there and post videos of yourself hunting or shooting your bow or doing whatever. And I think we're overpolluted with people out there that are wanting recognition for being the next big thing, or I got this sweet new bow and I killed this big bull and I did this. And it's just like, I mean, it adds up to the end game of the meaning of hunting has been diluted by the term of the, you know, the term success has been it's been changed. And a lot of that comes from that, because guys get on there and they're like, well, I can't take 20 days off a season, and I can't afford that $1,700 new bow. And, you know, I'm the only person that works in my household, and it starts to degrade people. And it's just like, I saw a post the other day and it frustrated me so bad, because it was talking about, you know, this guy goes and works his 40-hour week job, and then he goes and runs, you know, 6 miles, and then he goes to the gym for 2 hours, and then he goes home and takes care of his family. And I sat there and I thought, who reads this and really believes that? Because if you truly believe that someone has enough time to do all of those things, you're crazy. He would never sleep. And, you know, people say, one thing that me and Jonathan used to talk about is, when it's frustrating when you hear people say, well, how bad do you want it? Well, I have a wife and kids, and I'm the sole provider of my household, and I want it bad, but I also have people to take care of. And so we're getting tired of people feeling beat down and being told they're pretty much that they don't want it bad enough. You sit there and you tell people they don't want it bad enough. Meanwhile, they're providing for 4 kids, you know, and a wife. And it all goes back to these facades and this false idolatry that's been built up. And we started talking about, like, well, so we talked about, you know, what is the root of that problem? What are those people offering? And it's no different than about, it's entertainment. They're not teaching anybody anything. And sometimes, you know, they'll throw up their posts about, oh, you know, this is how I killed my, it's not real. It's, I mean, most of the times you see that stuff, they're endorsed, you know, they're either have sponsorships or there's endorsements involved. And it's not true knowledge. It's just people that are getting paid to do what they love, you know, which is great, but take it with a grain of salt. Compare yourself to yourself. If you're happy with what you're doing and content, stop comparing yourself to the next guy. It's just, it gets old. And that's the one thing that is my biggest goal. My contribution to Kong Valley is to kill deception in the hunting and outdoors industry.
Yep. And then, something else that we talked about was chasing the experience and not the grip and grin. And I think that's a big one too. And I hear that talked about a lot on other podcasts. I think Aaron Snyder talks about it a lot on Kafaru Cast. And that's, you know, whatever. I've killed stuff in the past. I just killed a couple hogs this past year, and I took some pictures and I took a YouTube video of it. But I guess maybe I'm guilty of the grip and grin too. But honestly, man, I'm there for that experience. And that was just my harvest and my yield. And
Yeah.
So that was. And maybe other people think the same way. Maybe that's what they're thinking too when they post it. But
yeah, well, I think to double tap on that, I think, you know, the grip and grin, you know, it's great. But with that being said, if you are going to grip and grin, you better grab whatever you harvested and hold that thing up high like it's the best thing you've ever experienced. And that's the you know, that kind of goes hand in hand with what I said. Is you see all these guys go on that, you know, whether they have hair tags or spikes or, you know, even if I've seen some bucks that are, you know, like a 123 point, you're like, yeah, it ain't nothing. I'm like, okay, you sat there and took that animal's life, and you're going to sit there and apologize to a bunch of people that you don't know because it's not big. Like, dude, if your heart was pounding and you got your experience out of that, don't apologize to anybody. That's what it's all about. You know, love that, like harness that and absolutely cherish it. I keep the molars of every buck or animal that, you know, isn't really worth mounting. I keep it in a jar. It's like, I have stories for each one of them. It's like, you just got to love the experience and stop making it about how big the rack is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what it's all about, is the story that leads up to it, really, you know, cause when the kill shot goes down, it could be any animal that's out there, and it's 7 days in and you've been chasing after animals for the entire week. You're hungry, you're tired, you're thirsty, and it doesn't matter what's out there, man. Just be proud of whatever it is that you killed that day, or it doesn't even have to be a harvest, you know, just be proud that you got out there and that you had the opportunity to spend a week in the woods and enjoy the heck out of it.
Amen.
Yeah, that's
absolutely
a big one too. So be proud to be a hunter, I guess. That's one thing that I'm trying to say.
Yes.
So as we start to wrap this thing up, man, I want to give you the opportunity for some final thoughts and something to for our listeners to take away from, and kind of give us something to remember Kong Valley for, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it seems, you know, a lot of the stuff I talk about, it seems kind of redundant and it seems like stuff that doesn't need to be said. So many times I say stuff, I'm like, well, that's like common sense. So often I get feedback of how encouraging and inspiring it is to hear that. So I guess really what I have to say is one, be positive, and, you know, two, contribute. And once you start doing those things and you start becoming selfless and you're looking for your experience, but also helping others find their experience, whether it be, going out, taking somebody fishing, or, you know, going and donating your gear, or, you know, helping somebody find their way or just find that motivation and passion, whatever they do. You don't even have to be a hunter. You could be me and Jonathan might say snowshoeing, rock climbing. It doesn't even have anything to do with the hunting industry, but whatever you do, just do it with a full heart and do it without expecting a return or for recognition. You know, once you start doing that stuff, I mean, that kind of sounds like simple rules to being a decent human being, but it just seems like it's something that we take pride in doing, is make people feel excited about getting involved. And Kong Valley is just all about that. It's all about positivity and it's all about community and a family. And we consider, we treat everybody, we kind of pride ourselves in, we treat the janitor the same as we would treat a CEO. It doesn't matter if you've never spent a day in the woods. We want to help get that fire ignited in you. And we want to teach people to use their voice. Don't be ashamed of anything you've ever done because you feel like it wasn't good enough. Use that as building blocks and love every second of it. You just have to love the process. As soon as you fall in love with the process, everything seems like success.
That's a heck of a final thought, man. I like it. I like it. So, cool. Well, I appreciate you coming on, brother. Before I let you go, let's talk about all the contact information for Kong Valley and for you. And Jonathan, if you want to leave Jonathan's too, feel free, man. Yeah. Leave whatever you want so people know how to find you guys. I want to give them every avenue possible. So,
yeah, well, we're at the tail end of our launch of 31 Days of Giveaways. But if you'd like to, hopefully we're going to be doing some stuff like that in the future. So please go and follow along over at our Instagram, which is Kong Valley_Collective. And then you can also find me at Rev_Kong Valley and Jonathan at JMet_Kong Valley. And, you're going to find a good community of people over there. I mean, we pride ourselves on building a community of people that just really have a love for the outdoors and sharing their experiences. And it's just been a good community, and it really kind of parallels, just like you said, what you're doing. We have people that are complete novice to rookies. And that's the best part, is once you start blending those cultures, you got a lot of people that are happy and looking forward to doing something big. And so for some of us, that's planning out of state hunts with guys that you've met over Instagram or on the internet who are willing to take you to places of, that you've dreamed of hunting for the last 5 years. So.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And we're kind of the same way. We've got the team that we've built at Backcountry Rookies is all about that, man. Mentorship and helping others out. We got a good team. You guys got a good team. Hopefully we can put everybody together one of these days and hunt some critters.
Oh, yes, we will. That'll happen for sure. We will definitely be doing a big hunt.
Yeah. Hey, man, so before I let you go, where's the name Rev come from?
So Jonathan actually donned that name on me. He said it was, I don't even remember where it came from, but he gave it to me because he said my words and my motivation and inspiration. He's like, he calls me a reverend. He says I have the gospel of the outdoors. And so he dubbed me Rev.
Very nice. Find you a tree stump out there somewhere and preach the conservation and preach the, the outdoors. So that's cool, man.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, I appreciate you coming on, and this probably won't be the last time you're on the show, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely. I really appreciate you having me, man. It's been awesome. I love chatting with you, and I love getting to talk this stuff with you. We're pretty paralleled in our ambition to bring something to the community, and I always appreciate getting to chat with you.
Yeah, it's some dirty old Cab Scout ways. That's what it is.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man. All right, dude. Have a good night, man.
All right, brother. Take care.
So as we close this one out, I wanted to say thanks to Christian for coming on. Christian and I have gotten to know each other over the last several months. We've been talking on the phone and a lot through Instagram and Facebook and stuff, and we've gotten to know each other, and he's become a friend of mine. So it was really cool to have him on, and I just really like the mission and the perspective that Kong Valley Collective brings to the hunting community, and we just kind of merged together well. So I really think you'll be hearing a lot more about Kong Valley Collective from us, and then I'm hoping in return you hear a lot from those guys about the Backcountry Rookies. So some of the things we got coming up here in the future is Kyle Camp. If you remember, I just did a nutrition show with Kyle a couple weeks ago. Kyle is going to be doing a once a month. I've got him coming on to do just little nutritional reminders where he'll come on and just and talk about some of the things that a lot of times people might forget about with nutrition, little ways that we can you can help keep your body on track and keep yourself on track. So, yeah, Kyle will be coming on once a month. It's going to be the first episode of every month, and it'll just be a little 3 to 5 minute segment where Kyle comes on and drops a little bit of nutrition knowledge on us. So really looking forward to that. And then coming up next is next week we have the guys from Wild Creation. And if you haven't seen Wild Creation, it's a YouTube channel that these guys put together. And they do a lot of bear hunting content. Really cool videos. These guys are really cool to watch. Somehow I stumbled on them last summer when I was down in Honduras and just cruising through YouTube pretty much every night. I stumbled onto these guys and just really enjoy their content. So I wanted to get them on and talk about bear hunting because that you know bear hunting season's right around the corner. It's coming up in the next couple months. And it'll kind of give some people some, you know, some things to think about when it comes to bear hunting. So if you want to, look at Wild Creation in the meantime, and then they will be on here next week. So we got Dan Wildy and Nick Bala from Wild Creation. Thanks for listening. Come back next week, and out of here.